Shalom, bienvenido, greetings and peace from SDBibleStudy.org and SD Bible Study Church. I am pastor and teacher Alan Lewis Silva. Today we will be studying out of the six sections of the Holy Bible, the King James Version, which are the Torah, the histories, the wisdom, the prophets, the gospels, and the apostles. We will also prepare the Lord's table for communion in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone gathered here. Lord, I thank you for everyone listening, whether it be after this recording has been made or any other time. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to bless us, lift up thy countenance in us, Yahweh, bless us and keep us, deliver us from the enemy, lift up thy face in us, shine thy face upon us, God be gracious to us and give us favor. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind, chain, muzzle, and cage every demon and every unclean spirit in any way involved in the lives of myself or any of the listeners. In Jesus Christ's name, we bind, chain, muzzle, and cage in Jesus Christ's name. And we rebuke in the name of Yahweh all evil influences and all demonic energies and all works of Satan in our lives, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. Well, today, which is commonly known as June 29th, 2019, we'll begin with a reading from the Torah. Chapter 20. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For Yahweh thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For Yahweh your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house, and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard, and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife, and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. And it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. And it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace, and open unto thee, then it shall be, that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. But if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And when Yahweh thy God hath delivered it into thine hands, Thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which Yahweh thy God hath given thee. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities, which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations. But of the cities of these people, which Yahweh thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as Yahweh thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against Yahweh your God. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time, in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee, until it be subdued. All right, now, this is a very interesting chapter. This is something that is usually never ever taught in modern day churches because they don't teach out of the Torah anymore, which is a shame. God forgive me if some of them do, if I've spoken amiss. But anyway, let's get to the point. This chapter is talking about when you take cities and how to do that according to the Torah. You know, the Torah means law. It also means instructions. It also means teachings. So, although we're saved by believing in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, Jesus commanded us to live as he lived, and Jesus kept the Torah. So we're also instructed in the book of Psalms and elsewhere that we will love the law, and we will love the Torah, and we will love God's teachings. And so we have to learn how to apply them, not in the way that the Pharisees were applying them, by adding things to them and taking things away, but you have to learn, as a believer in Jesus Christ, how to apply the Torah. And it is somewhat easy to understand, somewhat difficult to actually do. And you have to learn how to apply the principles and know what things are to be done and how they're supposed to be done. Now, this is about war, chapter 20. It's about marching against your enemies. And it starts off with saying, when you march against your enemies, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their horses. Don't be afraid of their equipment, of their technology, of their chariots. The Lord brought you out of Egypt. Don't be afraid of what they have in their numbers and their fortifications. Don't be concerned about that. Your strength is Yahweh. Now, the other section of this and what it's talking about is the kind of people that should be going out to battle. These are to be men. And if people have concerns other than going into battle, such as having built a house, which is one of the excuses that people gave the king's messenger in the Gospels, Or if someone has planted a vineyard, which was one of the excuses that was given the king's messenger in the Gospels, or if someone has betrothed a wife, which was one of the excuses given to the king's messengers in the Gospels, in the parable. They're excused from the battle. If they meet those criteria, they're excused from the battle. But it's in learning to apply the Torah, learning how to rightly divide the message here. It's talking about people who are ready to fight. People who will go out to the battle and not be intimidated by the enemy. People who are doing it because they trust in the Lord. And that's it. It's like some Bible preacher who's just out there trying to preach the Word of God, and all he has is his Bible, his King James Version Bible, or his accurate translation of the Bible in whatever language. And he's just preaching the Word of God. And he's not concerned about other things. This is the message of the Torah that we're reading today. This is the message that is giving us, because, you know, it says elsewhere that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness, and rulers of darkness. And this is a spiritual enemy that we're fighting. And so this Torah has to be applied if you really want to be effective and, you know, strive for those rewards that are in heaven. Because there's salvation, yes, but there are also rewards. And God would like to give us these rewards. You can't buy those rewards that are in heaven. You know, you have to earn them. And when you've earned them, they're yours. It's a great honor. Okay. Now then, how do you start the battle? First, you proclaim peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And it can also mean wholeness, fullness, health. And if they accept those terms, then they'll open their city and they'll be your tributaries. Now, if they don't make peace with you, if they resist, and if they don't become tributaries, which is not an equal status, one is giving tribute to the other, so that is, it's not an equal status, okay? When you go in and you battle these people because they won't make peace with you, or these demon energies or whatever they are in your context, if they fight all the males, you shall smite at the edge of the sword. Sword is the word of God. And the women and the children and all the property becomes yours, becomes this, your spoil that you've earned. Now, what would this look like, not literally in the sense of, you know, physically going to a city, but what would this look like spiritually, or literally spiritually, but not physically? That's what I want you to think about. I want you to study this. I want you to read this one time over and just really think about this. Because I don't think it's meant to be totally revealed, although it's clear to see what it says. Right? It's simple enough to read what it says. How to apply it can be something more gifted. Now, I also want to talk about the last part of this chapter, which is talking about who this these terms of war, how the Torah tells us to go to war. This is not applying to the cities of the Canaanites. This does not apply to the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. You shall utterly destroy them. Utterly destroy them. Right. So this is not talking about getting tributaries from the devil. Okay, it's not about the devil becoming a tributary to you. Don't interpret it that way. Okay, these were demonic cities, these Canaanite cities, where if you let them live, they're going to one way or another get you to do the things that they're doing, which are sinful, and it will become a snare to you. So it's not talking about that. It's talking about those that were enemies of Jesus, and they decided to make peace, and now they've become tributaries to Jesus, because he is the King of Israel. Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. You're not your own king. You're not doing this for your own kingdom. You're not doing this, you know, doing gospel warfare for the tribe of Israel, okay? The modern political state of Israel, you're not doing it for the United States of America or any other country. You're doing this for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're doing this for Yahweh. And those that keep Yahweh's laws, which could be Americans, which could be the tribe of Israel, of course, right? But it's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ. Remember, God is love. Okay? So when you convert people, or when you are doing what the Lord wants you to do, and the Lord converts someone, this is what it will look like. They open up the doors, right? And whatever was fighting against him, if they don't, if they become enemies, if they do become enemies, and they are just totally resistant, but they're not literally a demon or someone who's a demon, then you have to fight against them. And don't be intimidated by what they have. You have to fight against what it is that they're fighting for and slay that idea, that masculine idea, all the males. Thereof you shall smite with the edge of the sword. So, this is a lot different than, what people are teaching in other churches. I don't really want to contradistinguish myself too much from what a generality might represent, but this is part of the value of the Torah. This is part of the value of what we do at our church. Now, the last part here is, it says somewhere in the Bible to build bulwarks against your enemy. So you compass the enemy, you go round about the enemy, you make bulwarks surrounding the enemy, you lay a siege around the enemy. Like, let's say there's a stronghold in your life, then you have to make a siege of that demonic stronghold in your habits. If you're trying to quit smoking, or if you're trying to quit cursing, or you're trying to quit being a witch or something, you have to make bulwarks and defenses against those incursions of the enemy. Cut it off. Cut off its supplies. When a person is sinning, they're feeding that sin. So you have to cut that off, and it gets weaker. Right? Now, when you're doing that, it says here in Deuteronomy 20:19, don't destroy the trees that are fruit trees. The trees that can be used for food. But use trees for the siege that are, not fruit trees, not food trees. Because you can use those. You don't want to destroy something to destroy something else that would otherwise be very useful for you. Right? And so you have to think about the context and pray about it and what that would look like in your life. So let's look at it a little bit more in these symbolic terms. A tree that is a fruit tree gives food. It is for men's lives. So if you're trying to take over something and you're destroying the very life that is in it, that's not the way to do it. Right? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not kill unjustly. That's according to the law, the Torah, not something you're supposed to do. You should take a tree that would be used for timber, something for that purpose, right? And not to use something against its proper use. Like there's a right use for something, there's righteousness, and there's a wrong use for something. So don't use it in the wrong way. And that's a pretty interesting chapter, right? Now, one of the problems that everyone faces, including believers, is sin. Sin is reality. We live in a sinful world. This is not going to change. Okay, what we can do is try to make the world a better place. We can live according to the law. We can live according to Jesus Christ's righteousness, which he starts to transform us, and he starts to write his law into our very heart, which makes it easier to fulfill the law. A lot of times, people criticize the law, which what they're talking about, the Torah, as something that doesn't need to be done anymore. Well, the priestly functions were fulfilled, you know, all the things that went on in the tabernacle and the temple and the sacrifices, all those Levitical roles were accomplished and are accomplished through Christ Jesus. He's also our high priest. He's also our king. He's also our prophet. He gives us the word of the Lord through the Holy Spirit that indwells within us. So, that's in the Torah. The high priest, that's in the Torah. If you make a king over yourselves, that's in the Torah. A prophet, you shall listen to what the prophet says. That's in the Torah. So, people misinterpret Paul and they misinterpret Jesus as to assume no longer do we have to study the Torah, this is not important at all. That's really incorrect, and that's not something this church teaches. We teach against that. Okay. Now, that being said, we have to do all things in love. We have to do all things as Jesus Christ did them. There was a woman that was caught in the act of adultery, and Jesus Christ would not stone her to death. Although the Pharisees were misinterpreting that, because the Torah says you're supposed to, if you catch them in the act, you're supposed to kill both of them. They only wanted to kill the woman, not the man. So because they weren't doing it correctly, Jesus Christ refused to do it. We don't have an example in the Gospels where they were both caught in the act and they were both brought out totally in line with the Torah. We don't know what Jesus would have done then. We know what the Torah says. Okay. King David, Jesus Christ is the son of David. King David would not kill his own son, even though his son raped his daughter. Now, the penalty for rape is death. But what happened is because David would not carry out the law, the one who was the rapist still died. He was murdered by his half-brother. So, you know, that's not really laid up as a sin, per se, that God remembers against David. The sin that he committed against Bathsheba and against Uriah, her husband, that sin, God remembered that. But the one about not, you know, executing your own son for something that was worthy of execution, God doesn't mention that as being one of those things that he remembers. So, it's similar to, let's say you're eating pork, right? The Torah says, like the dietary restrictions, you're still not supposed to do those things. Those are still unclean foods, just as there's other unclean practices in the Torah. But you'll be unclean until the evening, and then it goes away. So there are some things that are sins that are very serious, you know, those that interfere or transgress with the Ten Commandments. And there are those that they go away after a process of time. Okay? So I'm not making a doctrine out of this, but I would like you to examine that on your own and see what the Lord teaches you. Any questions that you have, you can always ask Jesus Christ to explain something for you. But this is just something that I've noticed, and, you know, dietary restrictions. You know, should a Christian eat pork? The answer would, in my opinion, would be no. But if you do, you're unclean until the evening. There's also other practices that make you unclean until the evening. Having sex, even with your wife, makes you unclean until the evening, according to the Torah. Okay? So some people are willing to be in a that spiritual cleanliness aspect. They're willing to be a little bit unclean, let's say in order to procreate, in order to have children. Okay? So, by the same rationale, you know, it's not something that you need to worry about in the same sense as some of the other things are much more worrisome. Okay, some of the things in the Ten Commandments, violating those things are more serious. But in all these things, in all this striving about the law, and trying to live a prosperous life that God will bless, by being in your life, by having a relationship with you, this is how God blesses you. There are people who don't hear God's voice because they have so much uncleanness in their life and they have so much sin in their life that God's voice might be there, but it's at such a small volume, they would have to take out all that other uncleanness and all that other noise so that they could start to hear God's voice, and that volume of God's voice would increase. Right? So maybe that's another way to think about it. I have a feeling that the Bible is written in such a way that people are going to have different ways that they interpret it. And there might be some value in how the different people interpret it, as long as it agrees with what the Bible says. So, this is my contribution for today about the book of Deuteronomy from the Torah.